Brad Locke.
And I'm Gene Phelps, and this is Prep Rally.
We're talking Northeast Mississippi High School sports, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome into another episode of Prep Rally, the Daily Journal and DJournal.com produced webcast / podcast. Brad Locke here with you, your co-host, along with Gene Phelps. Gene,
what would that make me, a co-host?
We're both co-hosts, Gene. Okay. We're equal partners in this thing.
I don't know about that.
I'm just the guy that talks first.
You do the commercials.
Well, we don't have any commercials yet. If you'd like to advertise on Prep Rally,
there we go.
Drop us a line. And by the way, if you're listening on the website, preprally.djournal.com, you can also check us out on iTunes or in your podcast app. And if you missed this webcast, hey, guess what? You can go back and watch it again. Watch the replay at djournal.com. So, yeah, it's a webcast / podcast, simulcast, except the webcast comes first. Then we get the podcast up every Wednesday afternoon. Talking Northeast Mississippi High School sports. Gene, we've got a lot to get to. A lot of basketball, which we'll get to in a moment. But first, something you wanted to talk about, some changes coming to the softball championship format. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I'm still trying to track down some information, but from what I understand, this year the High School Activities Association's Legislative Council met last week. And the way the High School Activities Association does, legislation goes on the docket, and if it's passed the first time, it has to pass a second time before it becomes law.
Yeah.
Or goes into the rule books. And what they've done is they've taken the fast pitch softball playoffs for this spring, mm-hmm. and from now on until they change it.
Yeah.
In the past, you've gone down there and you played one game on Friday, then played game two on Saturday and game three, if needed, later in the day. And at the same time, you've got 3 to 4 championship games or playoff games all going on at one complex, kind of in a back-to-back type deal if you've ever been down there.
Yeah,
and you've got to be heads up when you're out there watching with the foul ball coming from another ballpark. But that's kind of crazy. As a matter of fact, a fan from Smithville got hit in the head last year at last year's championships. But anyway, it looks like what they're trying to do, and I'm going to get some clarification, hopefully have a story in the journal tomorrow. They will play one game at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And in other words, on Thursday, you'll play 6 games. Friday, you'll play 6. And Saturday, over how many, if you've got any game threes.
Right.
And so
you'll
be playing on one field, one game at a time, which I think would make it easier for the High School Activities likes to stream the games, and that would certainly make it easier doing that.
Make it easier for us covering it?
Make it easier for us covering it. You know, a lot of times I've been down there and tried to keep up with 2 teams playing on different fields, and it's impossible.
Yeah.
So I hope that's the way it's being done. And I talked with one coach today who said that I think they're in their last year of the contract down there in Ridgeland.
Yeah.
And where they have the 4 fields. And I think like the High School Activities has done with other sports, they're looking at maybe moving to Mississippi State softball complex and maybe playing it, or maybe Ole Miss or Southern Misses, and doing the same thing that they do with some of the other sports, go to some of the college venues. That's, again, that was told to me by a coach. I haven't talked with any High School Activities Association officials, but that sounds like something they would be looking at. And you know, Mississippi State just opened their new softball complex or redone, and it's really nice. And I'm sure that'd be great for kids, great recruiting tool for the schools too. I'm sure they'd be happy to have, you know, the state softball players down there.
Okay. And something going on with track and field.
Track and field. Hey, they've added, you know, in a track meet, the 4x400 is always the last race. Mm-hmm. I had a coach at Hattiesburg, Jerry Smith, tell me one time, he was the track coach there, and he said, you know, this is for horses. it's the mile relay is what they used to call it.
Yeah.
And you got 4 guys running 400-meter sprints, essentially. And it's usually where the last points come from, and it's always exciting. You've got 1 or 2 teams competing for the points and to watch that race, and it's – probably the most exciting because it's the last event of the day. But now they're going to start the event this year at state track meet with a 4x800.
Okay.
Actually, Tupelo experimented with it at the Daily Journal Relays a couple of years ago, but they didn't score it.
Okay.
Tupelo High did. And this year it will be an event. And so, Tupelo High track coach Brian Jones said they would be putting together a team to run in some meets. And so they'd have a team for the track meet. Now, what that does is it gives schools that have strong distance runners an opportunity to score more points.
That's good.
You know, and that's only fair. And you know, with the advent of the real successful cross-country programs, you've got a lot more great distance runners.
Yeah.
And only so many of them can run in a 3,200 and a mile relay. Now you can have some distance runners out there letting it eat in 800s.
Yeah. And there's a lot of good long-distance programs around here. We talk about Tupelo, obviously. Myrtle and Corinth are usually pretty strong, teams like that.
So it just gives – I think it was something that a lot of track coaches wanted, especially those that have strong distance programs, to give them an opportunity to win some more points.
Okay.
For their teams.
Okay.
So that'll be interesting to see.
Looking forward to that. Okay. Let's talk some basketball now, everybody. Let's go back quickly to Monday. You covered, Gene, I believe, Tupelo and South Panola. That was the final division game in 2-6-A for Tupelo. So the both boys and girls won.
They did.
And looked good doing it, I assume.
They did, and that was kind of the end of the regular season as far as division play for Tupelo. They do have Corinth coming in Friday, which will be a great matchup in boys.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably two of the area's best teams, without a doubt. And too bad David Wheeler will be covering that for us. Tupelo is more of his beat. Yeah, but that's certainly one I'd like to see myself. But, Tupelo goes into the division tournament next week at Hernando. And the Tupelo boys will play Hernando, a team that they split with this year, on Hernando's court in probably the 8:30 game, which won't start at 8:30.
Right.
So, but the thing is, in 6A, you've got four teams in the division. So if you lose on that first night, you get to come back and play in a putout game because only three teams advance to the state tournament.
Right.
It's not really a North State anymore.
Regionals, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, it's actually Todd Kelly with High School Activities that considers it the state tournament. It's just the first round.
Yeah.
First round, second round, you go to Jackson for quarterfinals.
Okay.
So Tupelo only has to win one game, boys and girls, to at least get into the –
And they're both set up as number two seed. So they're in pretty good shape.
You're in pretty good shape. But in a four team tournament, you just want to win that one game, then you'll feel a lot better.
Yeah. And Columbus is the number one seed in both cases.
And there's a lot of bracketology going on here. I've talked with some coaches and they're all looking down the road. Oh, if we lose and we go number two, we won't have to see so and so until we play. You know, so you don't want to lose, but you start looking, golly, if we win, we're gonna be in the bracket with so a lot of coaches are looking ahead at brackets and seeing where their best chances might be to make that run to the championship game in Jackson.
Another game from Monday that we covered, just wanted to mention at least, Shannon and Itawamba AHS girls and IAHS with a close game, close win, 52-48, the final. Tori Mallory, if you follow girls hoops around here, you know that name. She had 29 points. For the Lady Indians in a big Division 1-4A win over Shannon.
Yeah. I saw something tweeted. Yeah. You know, I thought they had lost Elizabeth Cleveland, their outside shooter, to an ACL injury. And I saw that Scotty Nichols from our Itawamba paper tweeted that she was actually back playing. Oh. I don't know how limited she is, but she's an outside or perimeter shooter. So I don't know even really how well she did that night, but that helps them out.
Yeah.
Everybody knows about Mallory and Constance Dunn.
Yeah.
And they still managed to win without Cleveland in there, giving them that outside presence. But they certainly will not hurt with her back.
And moving ahead to Tuesday's games, last night, the game you were at, Gene, let's talk about that. You were over in Saltillo. They played Nettleton last night. Yeah. And they Saltillo, man, they ran away with it 74-39.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad Nettleton team.
I was expecting a little better matchup. Both teams had 16 wins.
Yeah.
And, Saltillo, you know, anybody's kept up, Saltillo lost five of its players for a month after some kind of incident in the stands that happened back in December. And so they went through a spell there where they lost like five or six ball games. without those players. Since those players have been back, they've won 8 of their last 10 games.
Yeah.
And their losses have been by like 2 or 3 points. So this Saltillo team is really good. They're playing like their coach, Craig Lauderdale, expected them to play. Yeah. He says that he seems to think they're clicking here at the right time.
Yeah.
And they're a very impressive team.
And they're getting some non-division warm-up games, you could call them, getting ready for the division tournament by Nettleton. That was a non-division game. They got new site coming up on Friday, another non-division game. Saltillo is 17-8 on the season, and look like they'll play New Hope next week in the first round of the 1-5A tournament, which is being held in Oxford.
And that's a good division, boys division. New Hope's pretty good. West Point has beaten Saltillo. Oxford is in that division. So that's a strong boys division.
Yeah, and let's kind of lead into that now. We want to talk about division tournaments coming up starting next week. They start on like Tuesday for the most part?
Tuesday, then go to like Thursday, Fridays.
Right. And as you mentioned, top three, is that in each division?
That's in the big divisions. And like in 1A where you're playing, where you don't have as many teams.
Right.
In 5A and 6A, excuse me. And then the other divisions send four.
Okay. Who are some teams to keep an eye on, some division champs that we expect could go far?
I think, and when you're looking at girls, I think Pontotoc, Itawamba AHS in Class 4A. And that tournament this year, as always, is at Itawamba Community College.
Yeah.
They're at the Davis Event Center. It's a great venue, and they play there every year. I think some people have said it gives Itawamba AHS an advantage. I don't think so.
I don't know.
If they were playing in Itawamba AHS, it'd be an advantage.
Yeah, yeah.
But ICC, no. I don't think the high school Indians play any games there during the season. And it's a big arena with open spaces. So I think it's a level playing floor. The 2-5A tournament at Oxford boys.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a really good tournament with Oxford and Saltillo and New Hope and West Point. I really think that's going to be a great tournament. The 1-2A tournament at Potts Camp, Ball and Ingomar boys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think Ingomar girls will win that tournament pretty easily. I say that now and jinx them, but and Baldwin and Ingomar boys are really good teams, and Baldwin beat them pretty good
earlier
this year. But I think I had somebody tell me the other night, last night, it was probably one of the worst games Ingomar had played. And I had Jason McKay, the former coach, at that night I was covering that game, tell me that's the best Baldwin had played.
Yeah, so we may see a closer game if they meet in the division tournament. Yeah,
and I think the 4-2A tournament at Winona, while we may not get down there, is probably going to have an Oklahoma Calhoun City boys final.
What a
great game that'll be. Both those teams are really good. Both those teams have a chance to win a state championship.
Wow.
And, of course, Baldwin will have something to say about that, too.
Because they're in 2A. Yeah, exactly. 2A's going to be fun in the state tournament.
It is.
No doubt.
It is.
Any dark horses we see in any of these tournaments?
I was thinking about that today. I think you don't want to call them a dark horse, but, you know, Oxford's boys have been kind of up and down, but they've got the team. Jarkel Joyner, we've mentioned him. I think he's been our player of the week before. That Oxford team could be a dark horse. I'm not going to name Saltillo a dark horse because I think Saltillo's got a shot at going far.
Yeah.
And I really do. New Sites boys.
Yeah.
Larry Johnson coaching there. They don't have any real superstars. They went to Pontotoc last night, and I think they lost by 4.
Yeah, played them tough. Yeah, played them tough.
And they played everybody tough.
They'll play Saltillo this weekend.
Yeah, they play Saltillo this weekend. I think you could see New Site in 3A.
Yeah.
Maybe surprise somebody. I really like them. And Shannon boys. Boy, one night you think they're going to play well and they get beat really bad. And then the next time they beat somebody you didn't think they could beat, and they've got a good team. They've got Rock Coleman, who's been there for like forever playing. CJ Brim, Cedric Brim's son.
Yep.
I look for Shannon to make some noise in 4A.
And I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention 1-3A girls, which who knows who will win that tournament. That's such a deep division. I mean, maybe even a team like Kossuth can come out of that.
Yeah, you'd like to say that it's going to be Boonville and New Site in the finals, or that's who you would pick if you're betting. But you've got Belmont, you've got Kossuth, Alcorn Central's.
Yeah,
I mean, so that's going to be a really good girls' tournament. Been a good division all season.
Yeah, no doubt. So anyway, division tournament's firing up next week in the area, and that's going to be fun to cover. We'll have all kinds of coverage in the Daily Journal and at djournal.com for that. Let's quickly switch gears, Gene. Let's go recap the soccer state championships held this past weekend, south of here. We had four teams in the finals. Only one of them came home, with the state championship trophy. Amory Boys, Lafayette Girls, and South Pontotoc Girls all lost in their games. Oxford Girls, however, won a 5A title, their first ever state championship in soccer and in girls soccer. 2-1 win over West Harrison. Gene, you were at that match.
I was. That Oxford team, I got to see them in their last two matches of the season, and when they beat Saltillo to qualify to go down to state. And, of course, I covered the championship match. They are loaded with young players.
Yeah.
It reminds me, I'm not going to say caliber of players or anything because it's hard to compare, but the Tupelo team from back in the mid-2000s with Hannah Weatherly, Hannah Kimbrough now, and all those great players that won 3 of 4 state championships. This Oxford team is loaded with an eighth grader, Morgan O'Connor, who had the game winning shot.
Sure did.
And they've got freshmen and sophomores, and they all contribute. They're all really good. So Oxford will be a team to watch in girls soccer.
Yeah, Morgan O'Connor is going to ask you about her. Just an eighth grader, had the game-winning goal, had like, 27 goals on the year, school record. I mean, she's only an eighth grader.
Yeah, you hear about an eighth grader, so you go and you watch, and then you see her play in two games, and you see how she plays, and the way she plays is like an experienced 3 or 4 year player.
Yeah.
And she's an eighth grader, and when you talk with her, she's down on herself when she can't score a goal early, and she feels like she's had this horrible game, and then she makes this great left-footed touch and puts it right in to give them a win late in that game. It looked like it was headed for overtime, and she's playing unconscious, and that's what happens when you got young players. They're just out there playing.
Oh, yeah. They're not thinking.
They're not worried about, we got to win, and I don't think pressure bothers her right now.
Yeah.
And very impressive and a really, really good player.
So congrats to Oxford for winning the 5A state title there in girls soccer. All right, Gene, it's time for the athletes of the week. I've come up with a couple. And if y'all ever want to nominate athletes of the week, please send us an email, preprally@journalinc.com. That's preprally@journalinc.com, or hit us up on Twitter at @djournalpreps. You're going to say something there, Gene.
No, I see who you've got on there, and that's a good one.
Yeah, let's go with our female athlete of the week. This one was pretty easy. Claire Golding of Tupelo Christian, also known as TCPS. Senior guard, over her last four games, actually, I had three down here. I got to correct myself. Last four games, she's averaging 34 points a game. Let's break it down. Going back to Saturday, okay, this is all in the past few days, in the past week. She had 44 points and a win over Thrasher on Saturday. She had 37 in a 10-point loss to Pine Grove. That's a good team, Pine Grove, on a Friday. Going back to Thursday, she had 37 against Thrasher again in a big win. And then just last night against Tremont, an overtime loss, she was held to only 18 points.
Right. Claire, I've seen her play, and I know the first time I went to watch her play last season after seeing her scores in the paper and things, I saw her play, and she didn't have a great night, but I was expecting to see a girl that just stood out and hit set shots and things like that. She can create her own shot.
Yeah.
She's a really good player.
Yeah, she's a point guard, I believe, and has been starter for several years now.
But she's a really good goalkeeper, too, and she signed to play soccer at Mississippi College, so congratulations on that. Really, really nice young lady. Yeah. A good basketball player. I think she could play some ball somewhere, but I think she realizes her sport's soccer. Wow. She is small, and, JUCO basketball today is so competitive, and there's so many great athletes and stuff. You better be just really super if you want to come in and be a scorer in that league.
Well, she certainly can light it up. So Claire Golding of a TCPS, our female athlete of the week, 34 points a game over the last four games. Male athlete of the week, going to go with Ty Jones of Pontotoc. Gene, you've seen him play this year. I'm trying to
remember.
Is he a guard or a forward? I'm trying to remember.
He likes to do both.
Okay.
He's a big man. You know, his sister plays.
Okay. What's her name?
Latasha, I believe. They call her Ty, too.
Oh, okay.
She plays at Pontotoc. She's sophomore this year.
Okay.
And I think she's played since the eighth grade, and she's really a good player. And I probably butchered her name just then, but anyway.
That's all right.
You know, yeah, Ty Jones is a good player. Boy, he can score 30. Sometimes I've seen him score 10. You know, so it's
– we look at his last two games. He had 13 against Tishomingo County in a 74-59 win the other night, but last night, 33 against Newsite in that 64-60 win. Ty Jones, he'll drop 33 on you.
And I wanted to add one kid, too, when I was thinking about it. And, of course, a lot of times it's the people we cover. And I saw Tupelo's Trey Jenkins the other night.
He put up
26.
Yeah, he did.
He had 4 3-pointers. And Jeff Norwood, the coach at Tupelo, says he's just really coming into his own. He's a hard worker. He's deserving of everything that he gets. And he's got the green light. And that's, Jeff Norwood is I'm not going to say he runs a controlled.
Runs a tight ship.
Yes, that's it. That's what I wanted to say. And he's given this kid the green light, and he said he's earned it.
Yeah,
and so he said he showed me that he can make the shots. And so he gets that opportunity.
All right. So your athletes of the week there, again, Claire Golding of TCPS, Ty Jones of Pontotoc, and that's it for the show. Remember to follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. Follow me on Twitter at Brad Locke. Gene is on Twitter at Gene Phelps. Again, drop us a line, PrepRally@JournalInc.com. And you can listen to us. If you're watching the webcast, you can listen to this, the audio version, the podcast, at PrepRally.DJournal.com. Listen on iTunes or your podcast app. So that's it. We'll be back next Wednesday. Division tournaments will have gotten going, so we'll have plenty more basketball to talk about. So until then, for Gene Phelps, I'm Brad Locke. Y'all have a good one.